Good morning. Good morning. Oh, what is love? What? I love that. Let's do it again. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, lovely. Well, for those that haven't seen, or I've seen, this is the first time I've seen you this year. Happy New Year. Lovely. So John is not here, as you will notice, so I'm doing an announcement. There's quite a long list of it, so just bear with me, and if I forget anything, just scream at me and tell me what I've forgotten. So this week, weekly activity is back to normal. So we've got food bank Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 12 o'clock. And the band of songs are back as well this week. Yes, quarter to eight for band on Wednesday, quarter to eight for songsters on Thursday. Sally Wax is back on tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Friends Together is back on Wednesday, 1:30. And then on a Thursday, we got coffee morning at 10 o'clock. Friends International of Felix Story or something? Or Felix Story International Friends. Got it. That's back on as well at 10:30. Explorers is back on at 3:30. And then Sally Crafters at 10:30 on Saturday. No, 10 o'clock on Saturday. And just a quick message from the Hopin family. They want to thank everyone for your kind messages, cards, your thoughts, and your prayers during this time of the loss for the family. So they want to say thank you very much for all your, for being so caring towards them. So thank you for that. A few dates for your diaries. 21st of January, we'll be showing here the welcome service of our new territorial leaders, Commissioners Janine and Paul Main. It starts at 3:30, so if you want to come and join us, we'll be putting it on the screen, we'll watch it together and be part of the service of welcoming them as our new leaders here in the UK. And then that's a Sunday, so Sunday the 21st of January. February the 18th, Sunday, it will be led by late Colonels Gough and Diane Paynes that you know really well. So they'll be coming on that Sunday the 18th of February to lead our service here. They'll do a morning service, then we'll have soup and roll, and then they'll have a little service in the afternoon, and they'll be telling us about their time in Africa after Felixstowe. So you might have heard before Felixstowe, but this will be after Felixstowe. So please come and join us and stay and enjoy in that way. And finally, the last one, Saturday the 24th of February, we will have Walk Through the Bible. And we'll be going through the Old Testament. So it will be from 10 to 4:30. Online booking is now open, so you need to book your place online. And if you need any help or if you need any more information, please do see Joe or Andy Cracknell. So if you're interested in going through that, please come speak to them and let's do that together. It's a good time and it's quite a nice way to go through the Bible and just to be doing it together. So if you can, if you're free, please come and join us on that day from 10 to 4:30, and you need to book online. But if you need any more information or if you need just help, please come and speak to Joe and Andy. And I think I'm done here. Yes, I'll pass on to Joe, the captain.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to have Lisette do the announcements. It's better than me. She's shown her experience as a senior local officer prior to becoming an actual officer. It's better than my ramblings. It's good to welcome you this morning. It's good to be together, and it's good to worship together. Maureen wished me a Happy New Year this morning. I'm already so used to 2024 that I forgot that I hadn't seen you since the new year. But there's plenty of opportunity lying ahead of us. God is with us. And God has much to do in us and through us over the new year. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't single people out. I have singled Maureen out, I'm sorry. But Angela, it's good to see you. I'm used to seeing you straight in front of me, and I've missed you. So it's good to have you back with us. I've got a little announcement to make. For those of you, and I know that you are many, and I hope that all of you read our core advisory team meeting minutes on a regular basis. As you do read those minutes, you'll know that a group of us met yesterday. We experienced the hospitality of CYM, and we met over in their office in the Vauxhall Christian Trust Farm yesterday. We met to find a way of evaluating and re-evaluating the mission of the core going forward. And we also discussed ways in which we can encourage as many as possible to be involved in that process of evaluation and re-evaluation, but perhaps more importantly, in the implementation of the mission of our core. You will be hearing more about it. The group is already meeting next week to keep the meeting again next week to keep the momentum going on that project. We believe God has blessed this core. We see the evidence of that everywhere we look. And we believe sincerely that God has much to do through us. We take that responsibility seriously. And we want as many people as possible to be enthused by that and to throw themselves at what God is calling us to do in this town. There'll be more on that. This is going to be a good year. We begin our worship formally this morning by joining together in singing Holy, Holy, Holy. And I invite you to stand if you are able as we join in worshiping our God together in this way.
Thank you.
please take your seats. And we carry on in a time of thanksgiving and of adoration, and we sing, "Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise," and we will sing together, "Great are you, Lord." Let's join together, but let's make this a moment of adoration. God drew near to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and he offers us salvation. He offers us a new renewed relationship with our Creator. He offers us the hope of salvation. He takes away all of those things that once stood between us and God. He puts us in right relationship with God. And I think for that reason, we ought to be thankful. He gives us hope for the future. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? eyes. Bow our heads. And bathe in the presence of God amongst us this morning. We began our worship by singing words from Revelation, in essence. And a picture was painted of the day when Jesus has returned and heaven and earth is reunited. And everything will be worship. Then we sang, "Great is the Lord," and we've sensed, we've tasted a little bit of that worship this morning. Great is the Lord. In your hearts, in your minds, in your souls, worship Him in these moments. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for setting your hope in me. Thank you that I am set free. Heavenly Father, we worship you and we adore you this morning. Because you are a great God. You have made yourself known to your creation and to those who have placed their trust in you, to those who have persevered. You have given the gift of your presence, of your continued presence. And Lord, this morning we thank you that we can testify to that presence in our lives. We testify to the transformation, however small, that we have seen in our lives. We testify to the ongoing transformation that we see in our lives. We testify to the hope that we have found in you, Lord. So we can sing, "Great are you." This morning we think of those of our number who are not with us, Lord. And we pray that in these moments they would know your presence. We would pray, Lord, that even though they are not with us, they would nonetheless seek you in these moments. Whatever circumstances they are facing, joyful or otherwise, Lord, bless them this morning, we pray. For the rest of us, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would bring healing where we need healing, that you would bring encouragement where we need encouragement. That we would recognize those areas in life where we really ought to be grateful, perhaps. And I pray, Lord, that we would leave this place having grown in our trust in you, having grown in our confidence in you and better able to live as your representatives in all the situations that our daily lives lead us into. We worship you, we adore you, and we love you. And we make this name in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we continue in a spirit of adoration and praise as the songsters come to sing to us. Bow the knee. Thank you, Kevin. A good choice. Anyone eating any of these over Christmas? Anyone eating any of these? I was very impressed this year. Sorry, Ewan, it's my fault, but I'm on now. I don't think I've eaten a single quality treat this year, which is kind of surprising considering how tight my tunic's feeling this morning. But I don't think I've had a quality treat this morning. I'm really impressed how they're now in paper wrappers. Hudson, have you ever eaten a quality treat? Nah? Yeah. Have you ever eaten a quality treat, Felicity? Isla, have you ever eaten a quality treat? Yeah. Are they any good? How do they know if they're any good? Because they're chocolate. But how do you know chocolate's good? How do you know that chocolate's good? See, if you'd never eaten a quality treat before, how would you know it was any good? It's got calcium in it. What? If you'd never tasted chocolate, how would you know it was good?
Someone might tell you.
Because chocolate's good. But if you'd never had it, you'd never know that. Someone's a mind reader here. Someone knows their Psalms. And this is my favorite verse, I think, or certainly a formative verse for me. Psalm 46 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." If you don't take that step of tasting, you'll never know that God is any good. Just like if you'd never taken that step of tasting quality treat, you'd never know that they were any good. So let's put God to the test. Let's give him a try. Let's give him a taste. And we will find that he is good. Isla, do you want a quality treat? Okay, Isla knows someone that would like a fudge. Hudson, have one. And Felicity, can you do me a job? Can you pass these around? Can you start here? No. Can you pass them around and let's kind of give them a taste, be reminded that it's by tasting things that we know them, that we can experience them and that we can know their goodness. And things are very similar with God. Oh, I've got a song. I'd forgotten about this. Oh, there's people already grimacing. I can see you. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Let's stand up and join together in singing this song. Yeah, don't save the toffees for after the song. Yeah, oh.
God is a great big God.
I rate the participation at 93%. So we're doing pretty good. It's good. We're crossing the barrier of embarrassment. And imagine if we can do that now. And imagine if we can cross the barrier of embarrassment in how we live our faith in public and with our friends and with our families and how we talk about it. Goodness knows what can happen. I don't know. Just a thought. Just a thought. So now is the time to eat your toffees while the band brings to us. It's a great song. Jesus is all I need. It's a song by the Bill Booth Revival Machine. It's in that kind of rhythm and blues, kind of 70s rhythm and blues style. Jesus is all I need. And the words are going to be displayed as the band plays. Go and Google that. Jesus is all I need. Bill Booth Revival Machine. And you'll find it on a website called Regal's Onophone. It's a really good, really good song. I like that kind of stuff. I should have been around in the 70s. A bit too young for that. we're going to sing now again. And while we sing, we'll be taking up the offering. When I was lost, you came and rescued me. And we'll have the support of the new Bill Booth Revival Machine. And for this one, when I was lost, you came and rescued me.
lifting me. Your love is lifting me. Your love is lifting me.
Yeah, that line stands out. That wonderful idea that God delights in each and every one of us. Hard to hear, I think, for many of us. But we believe it to be truth. God delights in each and every one of us. And we'll now listen to the Bible reading which Alicia is going to bring to us.
The Bible reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through to verse 21. Joseph reassures his brothers. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
A lovely little picture of reconciliation within a family. And today's message brings to a conclusion a series through a journey, if you will, through Genesis that we started back in November. But I think it's also timely because it serves as a helpful postscript to our Advent and Christmas series too, by bringing, I hope, a glimmer of hope to what was quite a difficult and perhaps dark at times series. And that series, of course, wasn't completely hopeless. It cannot be hopeless because it emphasized God's presence with us in every circumstance. And that series, our Advent and Christmas one, also showed that every circumstance, good or bad, was part of God's plan, and that his goodness, particularly during the bad times, would only be revealed in the fullness of time or in the context of eternity. That was me being vague. That was me not pushing the thing further than I could. And I feel that I couldn't push it any further, because I don't know the entirety of God's will. I cannot show to you that even in the most horrific circumstances, even in the most terrible circumstances, I can't tell you where God's will is there. But I do know that he is there. So today's story, the story of Joseph, which takes up the final third of the book of Genesis, provides us with a tragic set of circumstances experienced by the very people God had blessed to be his people. But Joseph's story is also helpful because as the tragedy unfolds, as the tragedy reaches its conclusion, it does reach resolution. And God's goodness pervades the story of Joseph, despite the horrific circumstances. But not only does it pervade the story, God's goodness ultimately wins through. So I hope that today's message will show that the reality of God's goodness, whatever the circumstances can provide a message of hope to those who are struggling to remain faithful in times of uncertainty. Joseph's story is a fascinating story, and it's for a reason that it takes up kind of the vast majority, really, or the biggest chunk of Genesis as we know it. And his name will bring to mind many different images. Some will think of a coat of many colours, of course. Some will think about jealousy among brothers, a son favoured by the father for others, a dreamer for some, and for many of us, of course, we'll think of the subject of a famous Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. Let's not start singing together. As Joseph's story begins in chapter 37, Joseph is the youngest of Jacob's 11 sons and the firstborn of Rachel. He's 17 years old and has a very special relationship with his father. He has been blessed with unique gifts and talents and has been the center of attention since his birth. So much so that this attention sparks envy amongst his brothers. And the story shows that the older brothers will go on to plot against Joseph and sell him into slavery. Jacob and Rachel's handling of the whole situation leaves to be desired. They're not a good example of family values. They're not the best example of parenting. You know, because we might expect Jacob and Rachel to know how rivalry can develop amongst siblings and perhaps especially amongst brothers. And Jacob should have relied on his own experience and the rivalry that existed between him and his brother Esau. He could have gone, well, I don't want that in my family, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So we might ask why Jacob doesn't pay more attention to what is going on in his own family. Doesn't he see what is going on? Doesn't he see what is happening? And the answer to this question is straightforward. He doesn't see. No, he doesn't see what is happening in his own family. Like his father before him, he doesn't see what is happening before his very eyes. And Genesis generally portrays the patriarchs as being a little bit slow on the uptake anyway. Jacob's sons go on to sell their brother into slavery, coming to an arrangement with some Ishmaelite, and there's significance there, I believe, some Ishmaelite traders on their way to Egypt. The deal is reached, and with Joseph's coat still dripping with goat's blood, Joseph becomes a slave in Egypt. In Egypt, Joseph grows up, he matures, he becomes a different person and rises to prominence, becoming Pharaoh's prime minister and one of the most powerful, one of the most influential people on earth. And this is a surprising outcome. But what is even more surprising is the fact that he, Joseph, is reunited with those brothers who had sold him into slavery some years previously. Because of famine, his brothers had been forced to travel to Egypt to find some sustenance, to find some food, to buy some food. And in an interesting parallel, it's precisely because of Joseph's leadership, because of Joseph's wisdom, that Egypt is one of the places where food could be found. So when the brothers arrive, they don't recognize Joseph. He's grown up. He's a man. He's a man of the world. He's more than the boy he was when they betrayed him. He is now an adult. And not only that, he's an adult that projects an image of success and of power. So Joseph recognizes his brothers, but his brothers don't recognize him. And next then comes one of the most dramatic scenes in perhaps in the whole of the Bible. Joseph, still unrecognized by his brothers, instructs them to fetch their father, Jacob, who is nearing death. Joseph wants to see his father one last time. But he also requests that the youngest son, Benjamin, stay behind in Egypt while the brothers go back to Canaan. And this request creates a certain amount of tension in the story. Nonetheless, the brothers return with Jacob and the family is reunited. Then we reach the point in the story that we have read today. Jacob dies, and the brothers fear that with Jacob gone, Joseph will take his revenge. Confounding his brothers' fears, Joseph shows mercy and forgives them. And there isn't a dry house in the house. We know that Joseph cries. We suspect that the brothers cry. And in a sense, the rest of us cry too, as the brothers are reconciled. And it's beautiful. It's a wonderful moment because Joseph manages to put the grace of these moments into words. And this is what Joseph says. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Even though the brothers intended harm on their younger sibling, God intended good. And this is certainly not to say that God intended for Joseph to be treated inhumanely, or that God intended for the brothers to plot murder. The point here, the glorious point, the grace-filled point, is that there is nothing beyond God's redemptive power of grace. There is nothing beyond God's redemptive power of grace. All this being said, and as is often the case in the book of Genesis, the story resists an easy or simplistic conception of God's providence. Joseph's encounter with God is real, but God remains elusive. He stays in the shadows and behind the scenes, working towards the best possible end. And the whole story is grounded in God's goodness towards his creation. So the story stands as a testament to the fact that ultimately nothing can stop God's goodness from being fulfilled. Joseph's story reminds us that God isn't finished with us yet. Joseph's story reminds us that God isn't finished with each and every one of us yet. The story reminds us that God is not finished with you yet. And that, to me at least, sounds like terrific news. It sounds like good news. Let it sink in. God has not finished with us yet. Irrespective of what we are living through. God has not finished with us yet. I think there was a time when that would have drawn a hallelujah. God has not finished with us yet. And in a world fragmented by racism and war, fractured by violence, poverty, and drugs, in a church divided by indifference on the one hand and zealotry, extremism on the other, the promise of God's goodness remains steadfast. Despite our worst intentions, God redeems. God can take the fragile pieces of our lives and weave them into a new creation, working behind the scenes to shape a whole new future. This is the hope we find in Jesus Christ, in the good times and in the bad. We're going to listen to a song now. It's a song that speaks to me. It's a song that I think speaks to our family in particular ways. It's a song that we have heard, that we have sung. But I think we're just going to watch and we're just going to listen. And we're just going to consider its message. And it's the goodness of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is nothing that you cannot redeem. We make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing song this morning is called What a Work the Lord Has Done. And we're going to sing Even Greater Things. Believe it for yourselves. Believe it for this church. Believe it for our Salvation Army, and believe it for the Church Universal. Even greater things are promised to us. If you think that you know everything there is to know about God, if you think that God has revealed everything that He has to reveal to you, if you think that God has done everything that He can do for you, I say even greater things are in store. Even greater things. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.